Jesus' name, thank you that he inhabits all praise. You inhabit all praise. Thank you, Lord, for your grace in tuning our hearts to praise the only one worthy of praise. The only one worthy, hallelujah, of that glory. And Lord, thank you in your great grace and mercy. You have given it to us. You share it with us. And Lord, we're here, God, to grow in this wonderful message of your love, in this promise, and truly the pleading of your heart, this passion that you have for us to enter in by faith, to share and partake, God, even to the extent of ruling and reigning together with you, Jesus. Oh, I hear you're saying, oh, come forth, be glorified together with me. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. And you're waiting for all of that glory until your glory comes home. So we thank you for this today, and let us just rejoice by the power of your might, Lord God. Let it just be more known, more expanded in us, that love shed abroad even a little bit more. And we give you the praise now and forever in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn on over to Colossians chapter 1. And we love all the passages of Scripture in the Word of God. But I'll tell you, this has just been so upon us for many years now. This encouragement of what enlightened eyes of understanding through the Holy Ghost, through this wonderful gospel, this message, this mystery that was shown to Paul for us. And in chapter 1 of Colossians, verse 25, it says, "Wherefore I am made a minister." The Apostle Paul speaking here. "According to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." Let's go back and read it again. "Wherefore I am made a minister according to the bridal message of God, which is given to me for you to complete Jesus Christ." We'll go back and start again as somebody quiets their phone. "Wherefore I am made a minister according to the bridal message which is given to me for you to complete Jesus Christ. Even the mystery, the bridal message, which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now the bridal message is made manifest to ones that are saved, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the bride and this bridal message in the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, the bride, whom we preach, the bridal message, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, the bridal message, that we may present every man a bride to Jesus Christ, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." Amen. Aren't you thankful that you know that? Aren't you thankful that you know that? And how simple, praise God, how simple, praise God, that is by the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's not hard to be understood by them that will just believe God and hear the truth. But if this it doesn't mean anything to you as you're hearing this right now, if you're looking off somewhere else right now, I'm going to tell you, I'd wake up. I'd really wake up. Because I believe that there's not much more time. If you're sitting here saying, well, that man's just talking about things that really, you know, that's not for me. I don't necessarily believe that, or I've heard that and I don't know about it. Let me tell you something. You would not be here today. You would not be on this internet today if God did not mean it for you. Amen. And that's the truth. This is it. This is it. This is the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why would the Word of God speak of a high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Why would the Word of God, through Paul, as Paul went 30 years in that wonderful fellowship with the Lord, and then at the end, he says, that I may win him, that he was pressing toward the mark for this prize. If by any means I might attain to the first trumpet rapture. That's all there in Philippians. It's all there in that third chapter. It's all there that Paul says, if by any means I might be in that resurrection, out from the resurrection. I don't care if the majority of Christianity today preaches that everybody is in the bride of Christ. That is false doctrine. That is false, false doctrine. There would be no need for a high calling. There would be no need for a resurrection out from the resurrection if we're all going to be in a company that we're all going to receive the same. And if you're going to just be stuck in that, then there'd be no reason for you to ever even read Revelation just to tantalize things of what's going to come in the tribulation. Because everything about Revelation points to that bridal company that's in the midst of the throne that's in chapter 4. And there it flows out, 3 chapters later, that there is an innumerable multitude that is not in the midst of the throne. They do not have crowns, but they have palms in their hands, and they're waving salvation to our God. What place do you want? What does that mean then? It means that there's different companies. Why does it say in the Word of God, every man in his own order? Why does it speak of the ranks in the resurrection? What would be the purpose to hear anything more than salvation? We would have just little bits and pieces of the 4 Gospels. We wouldn't need any more of the Word of God. Just let that soak in. But you can sit here and be asleep again. So you can be in a building and be asleep. God help us to not be asleep. It's time to awaken. It really is. Jesus is getting ready. He's on the cusp of calling away his bride. It speaks of even in the gospel that it says the friends of the bridegroom, they're awaiting the call of the bridegroom's voice to call for her. We know that that's those worthies of faith in the Old Testament that were raptured when those graves were open. They're with him. Those are his friends. Those worthies of faith, those wonderful, wonderful champions of faith listed in chapter 11 of Hebrews. That great cloud of witness that witnesses to us. But they're there with their friend, awaiting his voice. Oh, what fellowship they have. I'm serious. Jesus was made one of us. He's got a great personality. He's like us. He really is. He knows us. And he's there enjoying that company of his friends. And I'm sure they speak every day, all the time. Jesus, do you think the Father's going to tell you to go get her today? I believe that. I believe Jesus is that personal. I believe he's that giddy and loving of his friends. I don't believe I'd have a Savior that was made one of us and wept even though he knew that he is the resurrection and the life. As many say, oh, he was weeping in their unbelief. No. He was touched. He suffered and was tried in every way just like us. We've got a friend. We've got a friend. So sweet we have him. And he walks with us and he talks with us. And I'll tell you what, he's got friends up there too. And he's getting ready to call that wife to him. And let me tell you, those friends, that's all they're focused on. Because a true friend loves the love of their friend. Now, we read this, all this encouragement about this bride. But the Lord put on my heart, and I remember saying that to that precious sister sitting there. I said, I just don't know what he ever saw in you. As I was smiling, teasing. But you ever had anybody ever say to you, I don't understand what that person sees in you? I'm speaking about a condescending statement to where the whole point is you're not good enough. Well, praise be to God, I'm here today to tell you, I do see what he sees in you. And this is what he sees in you. He sees his bride in you. He sees Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he does. And I thank God, see, this, the goal, the prize that Christ Jesus not only saw, but he knew what was in you for him. He knows. Oh, yes, he does know. And he knew it in ages past. And the beautiful thing about our Savior is he patiently awaits for Christ in you, the hope of glory, to come to the fullness. And as I look out here, all I can say is, oh my, what he sees in you. That's the truth. What he sees in you. And really, see, that's what hit me is this is really our whole journey of life is really to get his vision. The complete goal of our being is for him and his grace and mercy to have us see what he sees in us. Amen. You think about what the Father saw that he gave his only begotten Son for. And even when we were dead in our trespasses and sin. But the Father saw something. He saw his plan. And his purpose. And all the provision. And the power. And he saw all that in his Son. In us. Way back when. Way back when. And so wonderfully, brothers and sisters, that's what he sees. See, it's not what someone else sees. It's not even what I see. But you know what I'm starting to really rest in is what he sees and what he desires. And I thank him every day. I thank him every morning. You place that in me. You can't deny yourself, Jesus. He's insatiable, praise God. About you and about me. Now, Job spoke of this enlightenment. Job was a man that knew God. Job was a man that loved God. But God wanted Job to see more. Oh, yes. And so what God did is he brought Job through all of these things. Lots of disappointments, lots of trials. Great, great grief. Great grief. Don't know anybody who suffered any more than that man. And he gets to that end. And oh, what joy and rejoicing in the faithfulness of God. Mine ears had heard, but now mine eyes see. And so here we are today, and we take that encouragement. Amen? And we have the encouragement of the Holy Ghost. And we know what the Holy Ghost was sent for. It's not a mystery. Jesus Christ himself said this in John, what exactly was going to happen, why he was ascending to the Father at the right hand. The whole purpose was, as he said, if I don't go, I can't send him. See, the love has to be sent by the bridegroom. He's got to send it. It's his heart. And the power of his might, the Holy Ghost, is the very heart of Christ. And the reason we can say that with absolute assurance is because the Holy Ghost is the one that takes all the things of Christ and shows them unto us. So if Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth, and I've got this power of his might that would show all of that to me, I know what he's showing me. He's showing me the great love of Christ for me. Amen. So he went to send the Holy Ghost because of the things he wanted us to hear, to know, the love that he wanted to grow and foster in our hearts that never, ever was grown to that extent. It wasn't. Because it wasn't until that time of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost was sent that the purpose of the church age that we live in right now, that a bride would be prepared to come out for him. And the only way that that was going to happen is the servant, the Holy Ghost, had to go to minister to her this precious message that we hear every single time we come in here, that we grow up into more and more and more and more because we have the ministering of the Holy Ghost through Paul's gospel that does it. Praise God. See, Rebecca could have went out to that well time and time again. But if the servant from the master hadn't come to meet her at that well, she would have never known of the servant's son, the bridegroom, that was going to have a bride. Amen? She could have went out there a jillion times and got water, but it wouldn't have been the bridal message. It was the proposal. The Lord really does 1 + 1 = 2. I'm just telling you, you have to reject this completely, which is really sad to not take this for your own. And so she went to that well because the grace of God drew her. She didn't know what that appointment was going to bring, but God did. God knew exactly what he was doing. She thought it was just some other day, but she had a divine appointment. And she was there at the exact moment, all by herself, that here came the servant with one message. My master sent me out here to get that bride for his son. And that's what she heard. And that's you. And that's me. And we weren't looking for it. Do you understand that? We weren't. Nobody sought it. But there's something about God. He knows. He knows. And God does not waste his time. And don't let the enemy tell you that God is wasting his time with you. And I don't care how many times you've come in here, let this day be the day that somehow, some way, through the foolishness of preaching, and I'll put my hand up right into it, but God chose it to say, you know what, this is really a cookie on the shelf. This is my bridal wafer, and I'm taking it today. I get it. It is that sweetly simple. The Lord used me, but it's got to be the power of the Holy Ghost that touches your heart that says, yes, that's mine. This doesn't just say, make sense to my head. This makes sense to my heart. The Word of God really does say that. All of these stories of the Old Testament, they're all pointing to this one thing. Jesus Christ is going to have a bride. Amen. And it ain't the whole family. It's not. It's just that one. That's it. And she went back and she told the family what was going down. They were happy for it, but they didn't really understand. They were even trying to get her to delay. They might have even said, hey, look, we got, who knows what they were going to tell her. Maybe they were going to try to talk her out of it. I'm sure there were a few. You don't know him well enough. We've never met him. Well, you don't have the faith. You're never going to meet the bridegroom. Do you understand that? If you don't have this faith, you'll never meet the bridegroom, even though he's standing right in front of your face. I want enlightened eyes of understanding. Job said, mine ears hear, and now mine eyes see. Let the Holy Ghost let your eyes see. How many here can remember when the light really went on and you saw it? Praise the Lord. I had heard about it all the time. I tell you all the time, my heart saw it in the middle of a parking lot at a dance club. That's the truth. Yeah, God can minister there too. And that's the truth. Before I got to my door, I was on my knees hearing him tell me, I want to marry you. And I said, I do too. I got it. I got it. I heard it all the time, and then bam, it hit me. Don't wait for it to hit you. Let it hit you now. Let him have you more. That's why we come here. Lord, I want more. So see, we know it's only Paul's gospel that gives us this vision to see what he sees in you. And it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we must have his vision for us. We must have his vision for us before we could ever grow up into it. You have to understand the hope of his calling before you'll ever have that hope. Right? Didn't you have to hear about your Savior Jesus before you took him as your Savior? Yes, you did. As a little guy, all these different ones. As adults, whenever you accept Christ as Savior, it's because somebody ministered to you about it. That hope has, you have to hear the hope. If you don't hear the hope of the bridal message, you'll never receive that faith to take it. Why? Because faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing the word of God. So if I'm in a place where I never hear the bridal message, that faith ain't coming. I can add that up. I can. And if I'm not hearing it and receiving it through the Holy Ghost, I can hear about that promise for 40 years in the desert and walk around and watch God do all these miracles. Huh? And yet, my eyes never see it. It never becomes mine. Do you see your crown? Amen. I see my crown. I see your crown. Praise God, I really do. I see us by the grace of God. I'm serious. I'm so thankful. I see myself. Aaron, I was right there on Friday night. I saw me looking at you in the midst of that throne as you're receiving your crown, holding it up, brother. There's no greater joy to my life. There isn't. Because it's ours. That's it. So that's the vision we need. And I was thinking, it was just like my dad. And oh, what a precious daddy. Man, I look at my brother all the time and my sister over here. I'm so thankful for my family. And I think about my dad when I look at my family. And I thought about my dad and how he raised us daily. My dad raised us daily. And they'll tell you, daily, moment by moment. Ask my kids, I kind of got a little bit of that too. But it was his words daily that formed us. Amen, John? And they did. They formed us. And they formed us into a vision of what he saw for us, what we could grow up to become. But see, without those words daily and that instruction daily, just being born to my dad, without those words, none of us would be the men and women we are today. That's a fact. And more importantly, that's the truth. This is the truth. And without hearing that instruction daily, which is there daily, you won't grow up fully. It won't be. But see, it's a journey, and it's a course, and it's a high calling path. And for a high calling path, I'll tell you what, you're going to have high calling trials. You're going to have high calling temptation. But see, if you know this word, count it all joy when you're in manifold temptation. Have you ever busted out and gotten a bunch of temptation? Oh, man, am I happy. Well, you got to get nuts in Jesus like that. And pray for me, I need to. Instead of going, oh, I hate all these temptations. You better start taking the word of God. Lord, let that word live in me. Start understanding why you have temptation. Start understanding why there's thorns. Start understanding why you are like you are. And quit saying, oh, Lord, I don't want to be like I am. Instead of saying, Lord, thank you, God, I'm wonderfully and fearfully made for you. If I wasn't so messed up, praise God, I wouldn't be calling out to your name 24/7. Thank God I'm not like righteous, you know, Barney over here that, oh my, I can walk high. I got a Bible and I put it right here. I got a suit, not a hair out of place. Everything looks great. Huh? Well, let me tell you something. That don't win Christ. Something in here does. Know it. And believe it. See, from the very beginning, this Shulamite, this woman in the Song of Solomon, she struggled with how beautiful he told her he was from the very beginning. From the very beginning, he told her, you are perfect. You are stunning. You are incredible. And she says, well, I'm kind of like the tents of Kedar and the curtains of Solomon, and I don't know really where I'm at. And he says, okay. Gets to the second chapter. He starts describing her. And she's perfect. I mean, to a detail. And he says to her, there is no spot in thee. Not even a spot. See why you don't want to examine you? Do you understand why you don't need to examine you? What did David say? Lord, search me. Amen? Lord, examine me. Now, are you still letting do the Lord's exam with your eyes? Or are you letting the Lord do the exam with his eyes? I'm getting chills all up and down my body right now. There's no spot in thee. You're beautiful, honey. Magnificent. You're this vessel of mercy that I cannot get my hands off of. You're this vessel of mercy that I just can't help but just draw to 24/7. You believe it? Come on now. Come on now. He gives grace to the humble. Let's get right in there now. Get snuggled up into humble. So see, this journey began for her to know how beautiful she was to him. From the very beginning, he describes every part of her. And yet she says, I'm really not beautiful enough. Amen. Because she delays when he comes to the door to get her. Right from the get-go, it wasn't like, hey, I'm not playing hard to get, honey. I'm here. I've come to get you. And she delays just for that 1 minute and says, I'm not beautiful enough for him. By the grace of God, may we get it. Amen. May we really get this. It's his desire, and you are his desire. Just as you are. Just as you are. Just as you are. Just as you are. Just as I am. I'm coming. I'm drawing right nigh. He said, go boldly. He didn't say, fix yourself up first. I look like a mess in the morning. I look like a mess most of the time. But I get in there boldly and thanking him and glorying in that. See, it's his desire. It's not what we think is pretty. And see, that delay cost us the intimacy like it did her. But thanks be to God for his patience and his long suffering. See, he knows how to deal with us. Yes, he does. He says, okay, you know you're still lovely. You know you're the apple of my eye. You know that you've ravished me. But I'll tell you what, you're going to have to come after me now. And the beautiful part about that is that sweetheart was quickened. She didn't go fixing herself up. She just ran out that door. Where is he? Searching everywhere. And she got abused then, didn't she? See, when she started to step out in faith, and see, that's God's will. You know it's God's will. Come on now, we're going to get beat up. You're going to have all the naysayers. You're going to have all them out there that, oh, man, he don't love you like that. You're not that great and all of this kind of a thing. But you know what? She believes in his love. She believes in what he desires. And she knows that she is that vessel of mercy that he loves. Are you thanking God today that you're unfit? No, really. Are you thanking God today that you're unstable? Or do you just think you're stable? Because you're not. He's the rock. He's the rock. And him showing you how unstable you are is a grace to you. Because you need the rock that's higher than you. Amen. Praise God. And that's how he works. And see, praise the Lord, that's what he loves. He loves that. He loves to give mercy. He seeks the castaways, the cast-offs. I mean, what can't we get about that woman at the well? You think about that. He knew it all. He knew she was married 5 times. He knew she was living with a man. That's my girl. That's the one I want to be alone with. She's got the potential. She's it. The 12 dummies back here, they're still trying to figure out who's better. They don't get it. They still don't understand mercy. They're still trying to work. She doesn't have a thing. She's just looking for mercy. It's perfect, isn't it? It's perfect love is what it is. And it's perfect for us, isn't it? And it makes me want to draw nigh to him. That's what makes me want to draw nigh to him. He's so lovely. He's so lovely. He loves me in spite of me. He loves me because of in spite of me. Do you understand that? He never loved you because you were good, because you're not. He loves you because he knew that you would have a heart for him. He knew that. So we know how this story goes. She goes through all of the naysayers. She goes through all of that battle. She doesn't care what they say, whether it's the watchmen or the daughters of Jerusalem. She knows it's not about what I look like or what I feel or what you may think. She finally sees what he saw in her the very first moment. He loves me. And she knows it. He really loves me. But do we know that? Do we know that? See, I'm so thankful. He's made the riches of his glory in me. Do you realize that? He's made the riches of his glory in you. That's what he's made in you. You got the bride of Christ in you. That the whole world is groaning for. All creation, it's groaning. Yes. The friends of the bridegroom, all of that excitement, it's right there in what he put in you. This glory, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that he put that in you for this bridal message, this mystery, giving you the power of his might, the Holy Ghost, to enlighten your eyes to see it to show you all the things of Christ, because you have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Amen? Amen. Come on, this is just the Word of God. Let the Holy Ghost just line it up. And for you to see it and to come forth and say, I'm the chosen one of grace. I'm the choice one of my mom. I got to watch how I say that around John. But that's what it speaks of about her. Isn't that marvelous? You look into that glass darkly, change from glory to glory into His image. Remember that glass darkly. Yeah, it's a mirror, but it ain't you. It's Christ in you. How beautiful is Christ in you, sister? 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. He's ravished. Do you walk around your house and say, I am my beloved's? Do you walk around your house and say, I am my beloved's and His desire is toward me? That's what He put in you. That's what He put in every single one of us. It's there. I want to give that back to Him by faith. I want that quickened faith of the Holy Ghost, that love shed abroad, to have that faith boldly in me. I am yours, Lord. I am yours, Lord. And I'm not just yours as a servant. Oh, no, 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 no. Come on, get past that. He had to speak to those disciples again. I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. But He had to still leave them behind, because there was still one that was there at the well. She'll get it. Be that one. Be that girl. I am my beloved's. I am my beloved's. I am my beloved, sister. Isn't that awesome? And His desire is toward me. Whoa, I love that. I am the chosen one of grace. Read the Word of God. I am the choice one of my mother. Amen. Do you have the faith? Amen. Do you have the faith? Amen. There were two that went over into the promise. Two out of millions. Two. That's pitiful. That's pitiful. Everybody, by the grace of God in this place, I'll tell you what a shame it would be if any one of us is not in the midst of that throne. In the midst of that throne, looking out upon that innumerable multitude and looking upon Him, praise God, and giving Him all the glory, giving Him all the glory, giving Him all the glory. Amen? And then all them friends, praise God, that have just cast their crowns before my bridegroom and me. Thou art worthy to receive your glory. Do you get it? Really, do we finally get this? He's coming. He is coming. Just like He came as a baby. Just like He said, I'm going to that cross. He said, I'm coming again. And I'll tell you what. I want to be, if by any means. Any means, I want to be in that first trumpet rapture. Praise God. Let's worship Him. Hallelujah. It's okay. Stand and worship Him. Come on down if you want to pray. Hallelujah. Praise your God. Praise your God. Father, we thank You in Jesus' name, and we give You this praise and thanksgiving today. Jesus, thank You again, Lord God, for this assurance that only You can give by this wonderful truth and love, by the power of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, we just thank You and give You all the praise and all the joy and all the thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.